is so helpful because it knows what is right and what is wrong and what is wholesome and what is unwholesome.
And one doesn't, most of the time, and one doesn't want to know that it's unwholesome, so it's only gradually that satipatthana can be developed, because only when one really sees the need and the urgency in being aware of what is wholesome, because most of the time we don't want to see the unwholesomeness at all.
But it's there.
Okay.
If one does not see one's own unwholesomeness, one cannot eradicate it. When it shows, when it arises, one knows that it's conditioned by accumulation. One has accumulated lots of it to be conditioned for its arising.
In theory, we say that we know that what we want is to eradicate the unwholesomeness, but in practice, when it arises, most of the time we don't want to eradicate
because
it at all.
A right understanding is not keen enough to see it as not self yet. That's why one should develop more and more and more right understanding of all types of realities.
I'm still not clear about meditation. I was saying to Sarah today that I can no longer see why now I would want to develop meditation, for instance, because one can't force anything to arise at all.
Yes, but meditation is not clear, so it's good to say that one develops right understanding or right awareness of reality which appears.
It but can my, be. By meditation, you mean sitting practice?
Yes, that even if one calls oneself a Buddhist and one says that they understand intellectually anatta, I can't understand how anyone who even understands intellectually anatta would want to meditate when the very conditions of anatta mean that there's no control, that there's that because one's sitting one can't necessarily even concentrate on, let alone feel tranquil.
At this moment, it's so real. It can be object of right understanding. So right understanding can arise now. We do not have to wait. We do not have to delay it.
No.
Develop it now. And this is the development of right understanding. It can be any time, any place, any position.
So if you're developing that sort of right understanding, you become less and less interested in
present moment, present object.
Yeah.
One lives alone at that moment.
Yeah.
Nobody in and around oneself. Yeah. Because at that moment, right understanding sees visible object as visible object. There is no being in the visible object. At moment of hearing, there is awareness and right understanding of sound and the experiencing of sound at different moment. There is no being in that moment of experiencing sound or in the sound. One lives alone, quite alone, very secluded, anytime, any place, with right understanding.
So you would be less interested the more right understanding you had of developing awareness of what it is now, you become less and less interested in meditating in the formal sense of the word.
I don't see the value of the what you call it?
Meditation.
The form of meditation. By sitting or standing?
Mm-hmm.
Because before one get up and stand, can panya arise now? And when it's panya, it can see reality at any time and in any position. Then it should be panya. But when it cannot see reality at this moment, it is not panya. When it can see reality only at moment of sitting, it cannot be considered as being panya. Why panya cannot see reality now?
Lucy wants to join in the discussion.
Yes. What's his name?
Lucy.
Hello. Lucy. I think what you mean is, can it have any beneficial effect at all? Is it?
Yes.
Even if one knows that what is important is whether we right understanding of what is happening right now, wherever, whatever, can it have any beneficial result if we need it just to be quiet for half an hour or something?
Well, you're talking about how to conduct one's daily life, you mean?
I was just wondering if we're developing a sort of understanding that realises that we can be aware of anything that appears right now.
Yes.
Whether we are benefits at all in meditating in the formal sense of the word.
I see.
Bearing in mind that one can't force anything to arise.
I suppose, well, perhaps a Christian could advise just sitting quietly a little while alone is quite a good thing to do, would you say, at the beginning?
Yes, but may I ask if there is any attachment to sitting?
Oh, I see. That's really getting difficult. Yes, if there's any... Yes.
If there is attachment to sitting, what can eradicate that attachment to sitting?
Yes.
If it's not the development of right understanding of any position and moment of...
Without desiring, if you just wish to develop right understanding, perhaps to sit quietly would be helpful, would be a skillful behaviour.
In the day, one does not think of sitting quietly because one always sometimes sits quietly. But the matter is whether right awareness arises or not, because one always sits. Now we are sitting already.
Yes.
So it's the matter of whether right awareness arises or not, not the matter of sitting. But if one wants to sit, there is attachment.
Yes.
Of sitting. Yes. And what can eradicate that attachment of sitting? This is very important.
Now what can?
Because it's there all the time. It moves one away from lying or standing, the natural way of living. And desire is so subtle that it moves, keeps on moving one's away from present object. It moves away one from developing right understanding of reality which has arisen. To the reality which hasn't arisen yet.
Yes.
And if you select special conditions, sati couldn't arise, could it? If we try to select special conditions for sati, it couldn't arise.
It's not right awareness then.
No.
So you shouldn't try to select special conditions. Your awareness should happen all the time. You are bound to be either standing, lying, running, walking or sitting. I mean, we're bound to be doing something.
The moment of right understanding already eliminates desire for sitting.
Yes, so it just happens wherever you happen to be.
Yes.
That makes things simpler. One doesn't have to...
I think when you're saying about one's daily life, I found it's really made all the difference in the world to just to consider more that we do all have different accumulations for doing different things, for living in different places, for leading totally different lifestyles, for doing different work, doing different jobs, and what really is important is the understanding and the awareness, not where we are or what we're doing, but the
awareness
the of the different realities, wherever, whatever.
But sometimes one has to pause and consider that to get the, I know it's intellectual, to get it straight in one's mind so that one can conduct oneself in a more meaningful way. Instead of going helter-skelter, you know, particularly the young woman managed so wonderfully. In a busy city, you're up and dressed and breakfast and off and without knowing what you're
doing,
unless one sort of perhaps gets the thing straight. Luce. She's very keen on biscuits, I'll give her one. She can help me outside.
Sometimes when I look at somebody's face, and if I, without any intention to do anything except look at it, I notice that the face changes, and I see many different faces, one after another, very quickly. And I'm not wanting to see any faces, I'm not necessarily attached.
Is that not thinking about the changing of different faces?
But I'm seeing. I'm yes. seeing different things. And I'm aware of not thinking at that
moment. Oh, there are many levels of thinking. It's not only thinking in words. Thinking of the shape and form.
Because sometimes the faces I see are people I knew. You know, they're very definite.
That is thinking already. Mm-hmm. When it appears as faces.
So this is thinking, moving in, as it were.
So isn't it recollection? Or?
After a moment of seeing, there is thinking already, so fast.
Which
of the shape and form. Mm. And then so there is thinking of concept later.
Oh, yes.
Could it be memory?
Memory arises each moment. Memory just remembers, but thinking thinks. Yeah. Different realities.
In other words, everything I see is a thought. Is a thought.
Certainly.
In other words, every part, until I develop my first moment of right awareness, absolutely everything I think I experience is nothing but the experience of a thought.
There is only a moment of seeing, only one moment.
But I'm not aware of that.
But there are many moments of thinking.
In other words, everything I've seen today has been nothing but my own thinking.
There is seeing as well,
but
before
I hadn't
thinking.
Been aware. I hadn't, if I had a moment yes. of being aware of seeing, that I would have remembered.
Yes, that's it.
That would have made
but
a big impression on me.
Intellectually, one knows that one sees, but one does not know that one also thinks about the object which is seen.
Mm-hmm. But how aware are we of it? I mean, until we discover the importance of right understanding and of understanding of knowing the characteristics of the realities which appear, until we know of this, until we meet this teaching.
If there is no development of all these realities from moment to moment, that cannot be the way to eradicate the idea of self. But the more there is the development of awareness of different objects, like seeing as seeing, pure seeing, no thinking involves yet, then later on there can be the understanding of thinking as thinking, not seeing. That is the way to distinguish seeing from thinking.
That,
so in other words, if I just assume that everything I normally see is really thinking, then I'll know what seeing isn't.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
So everything I'm seeing now is really coming from my own mind.
But there is seeing as well for...
I'm not aware of it.
But it happens from...
It's also
for being aware later.
Mm, it will come, hopefully.
But when we say seeing sees visible object, as soon as we try to even say anything about visible object or what's seen, or as soon as we try to distinguish in any way, immediately it's thinking straight away. As soon as we start talking about shape or darkness or lightness, immediately it's the thinking about concepts.
That's why people doubt what is visible object and what is seeing, because they keep on thinking.
Mm. I find that the more I consider what is seeing, what is visible object, the harder it becomes, the more I realise just how little I really understand about what it is.
This is how we're brought up. This is the education of calling objects names and recognising them and seeing them.
If one forgets about concept, just forget. It's seen.
Yes.
And it's visible object which appears. Forget. Concept. That's
so
all.
If one looked at an abstract thing, it's only because I know that's a table and that's a cushion, but supposing one produced a thing that you've never seen before, that wouldn't be a concept because you would just look at it.
But one immediately starts... thinking but, about the shape or the form.
Yes, immediately, but not at that moment. Later, you start thinking, what is it like? But at that moment, when you first look at it, it isn't like anything you've ever seen before.
It stands a greater chance of being seen than things in our ordinary reality.
Yes.
But as soon as you think of some things
which
you see and some others that aren't, immediately that's concepts. As soon as one starts to distinguish or compare,
as soon as you start
or
thinking in terms of that it's something that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Or I don't think one would be aware of that. I'm just saying for a flash that you might be just seeing, and then afterwards you might think, I wonder what that's like.
Yes. What do you see now?
Kunz again.
Not this, not this, not that, not everything, only me.
Now that you're bringing up my attention.
So you can see what is thinking. It's different from seeing.
In other words, seeing would see it all.
Yes. As soon as one opens one's eyes, visible object only appears. You do not see anything until there is thinking about one particular thing.
You don't see anything?
No. Visible object only appears. No thing in it.
No thing?
In it. Invisible.
There's no thingness about any of the things.
The visible object, like the hardness we were talking about, just has the characteristic of visible object, that which is seen. Visible object is visible object, whether it's seen here or there or anywhere. It's just that which is seen. As soon as there's anything else involved, it's thinking.
But the visible
whether
object
whether it's
seen
of that new object or here or anything, it's always just visible object, just that which is
But a visible
seen.
Object, all visible objects aren't the same.
We're not looking for the characteristic of any one particular visible object.
Okay, sir.
If we think in terms, if we understand visible object as only visible object, we can see that we also think of visible object as a person is pouring tea. Mm. But in reality, no person in visible object. But there is thinking about the shape and the form and the general appearance.
I had a moment at the bank, at the hotel in Bangkok. When I was preparing to take a shower, and it was, I think, just after I had attended one of your classes, and I had been reading and listening to the tape, and for a split second, I looked at my leg, and I saw it in a completely different way. I didn't see it as my leg. I saw something there, and it disappeared. Well, I mean, that, then I saw my leg. Was that a moment of...
It's a moment of doubt.
The thing that struck me so much is that I saw, it had the quality of anatta. I am so familiar, especially since that experience, of how much I do look at my body, you know, and see self, or the concept is of self I see in my body. And I don't think I've ever had an experience like that before.
What about just looking at your leg and see that it's anatta now? It's anatta.
Intellectually, I realize that.
And thinking. It's like now. What does one hear?
Sound.
Only sound? No thinking about meaning? Word?
Not always. Sometimes I can hear things and I don't even think what they mean. That could be called stupidity, but...
You know what I mean? But sometimes
one can see that. There can be that moment, but it's a moment of ignorance.
Oh, yes.
Because there is no right understanding of sound or of hearing.
Well, one can hear sounds and understand them, hearing, but sometimes one doesn't hear.
And where is the right understanding, moment of right understanding? Because now one can see that words can be separated. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? What is in between two words, ignorance or right understanding?
Well, that's a very interesting question. What can be between two words?
Ignorance or right understanding of reality, which is sound, or the experiencing of sound, or thinking, 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 thinking. See? There is awareness of concept, of thinking, or of sound, thinking, thinking, or of the experiencing of sound. Right understanding develops of those realities as they are different realities.
And what is the reality of the silence between two words? What is that, when you say the gap between
yes.
two words?
It can be right awareness and right understanding of sound. Or ignorance.
One knows that there's no sound there.
One knows the characteristic of sound. And one knows the characteristic of hearing.
No sound.
Hearing. And that is the development of right understanding. Because when one sits and one hears different sound, but without right understanding, ignorance is in between those moments of sound. But when one develops right awareness is aware, and right understanding performs its function of seeing reality as it is. It's only that sound, or it's only the experiencing of sound. There is no ignorance in between those moments.
I don't know how it can be called ignorance, because it's just silence.
No understanding. When there is no understanding, it's ignorance.
If there's no understanding, but if it's just silence and you understand or you're aware,
it's the development of understanding then.
Oh, I see, yes.
We can hear, say, with unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling, but in fact, we can only know one characteristic, can't we? We can only know, say, the feeling, we can only know.
That's why one knows that there is awareness or there is no awareness. When there is awareness, it is aware of a characteristic. And there is studying the beginning of understanding it as it is. But when there is no awareness, then there is no understanding of the object which appears.
So, I know that we have to get past the analysis of a jhana process in order to understand how to be aware, but what happens in the jhana process of the sense door process?
Awareness. Kusala, yes, Mahakusala. Direct awareness of reality which appears.
So in the jhana process there could be awareness of the seeing?
Mm-hmm.
Awareness of what?
Of, say, seeing, for instance.
Oh, yes.
It has to be through mind when it's awareness of seeing.
Off immediately after that sense door process.
Oh, I see. The jhana and the mind door process.
When you speak of the jhana, is that the 17 stages or steps?
The whole process is 17, but the awareness only takes place in what's known as the jhana.
The moment after seeing.
Mm-hmm.
7 moments.
Oh, I see.
And awareness can be aware of any one of those 17 moments.
There is seeing this moment. One knows whether there is awareness of seeing or not. And for other cittas, it's more difficult to be object of awareness. Because it does not appear, because it does not perform the function of seeing, like seeing moments. Citta consciousness arises all the time, but when there is no hearing, one cannot be aware of the citta which hears. There are many cittas in between the citta which sees and the citta which hears. But it's more difficult to be aware of them. Because it does not perform the function of seeing and hearing like this moment.
So I'm still not clear about what happens in the jhana process of the sense door process, say in a seeing sense door process.
When one says that there is awareness of seeing, it does not mean that it's the awareness in the process of sense door, eye sense. But it has to be through mind only, because it learns to understand seeing as only a moment of experiencing visible object.
What makes it possible to be aware of the different characteristics is that only one of those awareness can only be aware of one characteristic at a time. So after the sense door process, the seeing of the visible object, which is also accompanied by many other mental facts, many other rupas, immediately afterwards, that characteristic of seeing can appear to the awareness, and at that moment the awareness can be aware of that actual characteristic of seeing as just a moment of experiencing, different from the visible object, which is experience.
Of, say, seeing, I know that awareness can be arose in the mind, or...
So during that process, seeing sees visible object. And that's why even for an arahat, there can't be right understanding, right awareness all the time.
because at the moment of seeing, there isn't right understanding. So when people sort of say to me, oh, he has awareness all the time, it makes no sense because it's impossible to have right understanding or right awareness all the time, because at that moment of seeing, it's just a seeing of the object, but that characteristic can immediately afterwards, through the mind or process, appear to the awareness.
Mm-hmm. But although I know that you can only be aware one characteristic at a time,
the chavana moments understand reality. It's not the seeing, but it's the moment of understanding.
So, if awareness can only be in the mind or process,
and in sense door as well, but the sense door cannot be aware of seeing, because the sense door experiences only the present object which hasn't fallen away, the rupa.
So awareness in the sense door process would be aware of
rupa.
Because it has to take the same object as the citta, so if the citta's seeing, the awareness has to be aware of the same object, the visible object. So in the ear door process, there can be awareness, or in the sense door process, and the awareness can only be aware of sound.
And then the next
moment, and immediately afterwards, through the mind or process, it can be awareness of hearing.
But the hearing has already stopped. Or does the hearing continue? It couldn't be continuing in the second moment.
But its characteristic can be
retained. Can be known.
Immediately afterwards. If it's later to be just thinking about it, but immediately afterwards.
So it's known through memory, through the sanya. How is the hearing, which is already past, known to awareness, if it is already past?
When there is seeing, there cannot be hearing.
Right.
But what about this moment? Is it moment of hearing or moment of seeing?
Both, and one falls away.
They appear as simultaneously.
Yeah.
But in reality, only one moment.
Yes, but one, and then yes. Rising and falling away, one after the other.
I see. So one moment it's seeing an invisible object. Next moment it's seeing with mind door, or mind door is experiencing the seeing. And the next moment...
One cannot separate mind door and sense door yet, in the beginning. But one can develop right understanding of the different characteristics of the experiencing and the object which is experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So one does not have to think whether this seeing moment has fallen away, or is it the next one? But one should develop right understanding of seeing as only not self, only
seeing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If in the idle process all that there can be awareness of is the visible object, does it mean that there's any more likelihood, and although in the mindful process afterwards there can be awareness of seeing or visible object, does it?
One cannot definitely tell whether it's through sense door or mind door, because right understanding is there. When it's aware of seeing, it understands seeing.
Mm-hmm.
When it's aware of visible object, it's aware of visible object.
Mm.
That's all.
No processes or doors or moments, different moments.
So what if the jhana process in the sense door process was akusala? We just see visible object with ignorance.
When there is awareness, it's kusala of mind door and also kusala of sense door, because nobody can separate sense door from mind door, definitely.
So akusala sense door process has to be followed by the kusala mind door process.
Usually.
But the mind door process can then be followed by an akusala in the next sense door process.
This can be conditions for clearing up misunderstandings, it seems to me, or it can be conditions for more confusion. To talk about sense door and mind door processes. I often wonder how much do we have to know technically about the Abhidharma. I suppose it's different for everybody, isn't it?
When one studies Abhidharma, one has the intellectual understanding about each moment. But it's impossible to be aware of each moment in the beginning. And one does not know how much accumulation of wisdom one has until reality appears to one's right understanding at different stages of Vipassana Jnana. But the person who taught us about this had experienced them as they are. So he could tell us about them.
So he has to study intellectually to begin with.
Yes.
And then hopefully that one
will develop the right understanding.
You'll do it to develop awareness.
Because I find that, I mean, I have an awful lot of questions on a very kind of detailed questions about the Abhidharma, a very sort of detailed intellectual level, and I start sort of wondering whether it matters at all. But then I find that sometimes by clearing up these questions and having and working things out logically and intellectually sometimes can be a condition for them to make sense from experience as well. For example, when I started reading Nina's Green Book, which was after I'd just been doing a lot of sitting meditation and hadn't really heard anything about right understanding, suddenly, although most of it was just an intellectual understanding, a lot of things started afterwards to make sense from experiencing, just beginning to realise that our life does consist of different moments, different namas and rupas. So one never knows when things that one hears might come back and make sense, even if it does seem that it's just a big intellectual exercise.
It's so helpful when there is awareness of reality which appears.
Mm.
Because one can see that how much one is attached to reality. If there is no development of right understanding, one cannot see how much attachment one has accumulated. One is attached to seeing very, very much. One is attached to hearing. What about losing seeing and hearing? Just one kind of reality is all right, losing seeing or losing hearing. But what about losing all reality? When reality appears only one at a time and right understanding is not sharp enough to see that it's not self, there can be condition for fear of losing that reality so much that one can see that one is so attached to it. So the more one have intellectual understanding of realities as not self, it can condition detachment from clinging to that object.
It can also help one to just to realise, even theoretically, just to realise that there are so many different realities, can help one to realise just how little one understands, how much ignorance there is, how much more there is to know all the time.
How much one has to direct experience.
Mm.
How much one has to direct
experience.
To have direct
experience. Yes, to have direct experience.
How much awareness has to be developed.
Yes.
Do people, do you think, I mean, we're all sitting here and we're healthy and strong and we have our faculties, but people who are blind, perhaps, and dumb, or deaf and dumb, do they have more awareness since they have less sense?
They have more attachment.
More attachment?
They want to see. They want to hear.
Wouldn't it depend?
Well, if they never have, suppose they never have heard or spoken, then they have no idea what it's like.
One can still have is there, deeply rooted, to experience more. Because experience through body is not enough. They want to experience more.
And if they're hearing all the time from other people about how beautiful the scenery is and what a lovely place Sinai is, they must. It must be incredible desire to just see.
Yes, but these people are very often, I've known a lot of blind people who develop contentment, which is probably better than ours that we can see. When, you know, this is something that then, not they've accepted it, they're not attached to it. They are a sort of, seem to be on a higher plane, a higher, more enlightened, if you can. And it's difficult to choose words because one has to speak in
words. I would think that it would depend very much on that individual's accumulations.
Yes.
They may develop more probably understanding, they may not. It's going to...
What about if someone said that I help you to see?
I help you to see.
I can help you to see. It can condition his attachment of his joy immediately.
I've tried to do that and they've said, don't help me, I know very well the body seeks its own level, and he could see this particular man that could see better than anyone with eyes.
I've sort of found that from, because I've worked a lot with people who are handicapped or have had a really hard time, sometimes people, because they have had a really hard time and don't take all the things for granted that we take for granted, seem to learn a lot just from, you know, not really realising they can't always have what they want.
It just occurred to me, because we talk about our seeing and hearing and realities, but some people have very little of these things, or no legs, or there are people, people like that. And
like if something suddenly happens and we can realise just how dependent we are on our...
And if one has an accident and you lose both legs, how attached one can become to oneself, to living, or to what one suddenly stricken down. You become very ill, then the desire, and people encourage the desire to live.
Last year when I was working with elderly people, a lot of them were really on their deathbeds, and depends so much on the individual's accumulations, because there were one or two who were completely bedridden and semi-blind and unable to move, but who really accepted the situation, always smiling and laughing, and always had a nice word to say about everyone, and who I used to really enjoy visiting. Those are the others who were, you know, just so full of dose and feeling so sorry for themselves all the time, and who just couldn't think of anything nice to say about anyone, who one just didn't want to go near. So it really depends so much on one's attitude and acceptance of the situation in which one finds oneself.
Yes, Sarah, I suppose that depends on perhaps if one's going through rebirths, how much they've accumulated or developed in this life to deal with.
Sometimes it's such a sort of, one doesn't know what's going to happen to one next, one doesn't know if one's going to have an accident tomorrow, or what will happen, and I just found that being with the people, the ones who were really bedridden and really blind and just who would always smile and say something pleasant and nice, just what a wonderful example of
courage.
Growing old and really courage and of patience with the situation as it was.
Yes.
Different moments, though, because I'm sure they also have moments of some wanting to see or wanting to hear or whatever.
Well, I'm sure they must, yes. But it's not apparent.
And so, I mean, some people, some of them just realise more than others that the wanting all the time to be able to see
doesn't
and to
help.
Just doesn't help, because the situation is that they couldn't, and really one has no choice but to learn to live and accept things as they are.
Even they do not have attachment, they still have ignorance.
They have
ignorance.
Oh, so they are not aware of...
Because we can see the danger of dosa, aversion, and we can see the danger of lopa. But we should see also the danger of moha, or ignorance. Otherwise, ignorance will not be eradicated if one does not see its danger yet.
Just not knowing exactly what's going on.
You mean the expression turning a blind eye? You mean
we have the blind eye.
Well, usually when we sort of turn the blind eye, we're sort of not liking something, we have a version of just not knowing.
This is quite a common trait of one getting down. But if there's something one doesn't like, one's inclined to dismiss it.
So that's usually aversion, isn't it? So not liking, pushing away.
And ignorance is...
Not knowing reality, which appears as it is.
But somebody who is very ill probably knows, but just...
Great understanding has to be developed. It cannot grow by itself.
Yes. Well, taking these people as an example, they probably have understanding of what's happened to them, but they...
But it's not the understanding of the true nature of reality.
No, what could they do if they really did understand?
They can develop more right understanding then.
More right understanding. Mm-hmm.
In terms of how we've been talking about it this afternoon, of being aware of whatever appears.
Yes.
Of seeing an invisible object and hearing and sound. The
ignorance conflict you were talking about.
Yes, is a different
one. It's something that we spend 99.9% of our life in every day. The few moments that we turn to a page of the Abhidhamma or that we might ask ourselves whether
that's
this is
right.
A kusala or akusala. Those are the few slight moments when ignorance is just slightly less intense.
Because we might know in theory that, okay, we're lying on our bed and we can't see and that life isn't easy, but it's not enough. And whatever understanding we may have, it's never enough. There's always more to understand, always more understanding to develop, always another moment, always another reality to be known.
Yes.
So however wise someone might seem to us, or however
much,
there's always more to know, always more to understand.
Oh, yes, and the ignorance, as Chip rightly says, of course, is quite frightening, because you don't know how little you know.
Because of not knowing. So
of course.
At those moments, there's no knowing, because that's why it's ignorance, because there's no understanding, no knowing at that moment anything about what is happening. Mm. And afterwards, we might realise that there's been some ignorance, but at those moments of ignorance, there's no knowing of, no understanding.
So it would be wonderful to develop right understanding and awareness. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it, not for oneself, but just to be on that play. And I'm saying not for oneself.
Because I think that even beginning to consider that it does matter is important, and realising just a little that
it
there are so many realities that need to be understood. Mm. Is
I should something. Think that you've studied a lot, Sarah, and you really... I mean, you have studied the Dharma a lot, haven't you?
I think there's studying...
And applying it to
me. I mean, I find that it's so easy to study intellectually and so easy to kid oneself that intellectual studying is what is something more, and then to realise that maybe it is just...
Yeah. You have to start off with that intellectual studying. I mean, the one can get attached to the book, you long to get at it, to read, don't you? So you are attached.
But it isn't ever enough.
But I think you have to start somewhere, I suppose.
Well, there's the studying of the book, and then there's also the studying of what's going on right now.
Yes.
Now, I find, especially when I am studying the books, that I have a lot more motivation to ask myself what is going on now, and if I'm walking somewhere to do something, or if I'm sitting, or maybe going to bed or about to do something, I start trying to pay attention to what's going on now. To what extent is that trying to do something?
Until there's an understanding of the difference between the direct awareness of the characteristic which appears and the thinking of it.
Yes. But one of the things I noticed is, especially in the last week or so, there have been times when I've maybe had a long walk to make or something, and I thought, well, what's going on now? And suddenly, it's like looking into, there seems to be all sorts of things that are going on now that are totally strange. You know, that have been going on, you know, and maybe just for a moment, it's almost like looking into another world. Or if I'm sitting where I live very quietly, let's say sometimes before doing a meditation or something, if I won't do that quite yet, and I just sit there for a moment, it's almost as if something is totally strange which has been there all the time.
Yes, that's awareness.
That is the world of thinking, of different
that's
aspects.
The world of my own mind.
Yes.
But this is the real world. The real was so real, as natural as it is.
Actually, we live in our minds an enormous amount, don't we?
We spend our whole time taking things for real which aren't at all. Taking concepts for reality, we all do it. I mean, we always think it's just us. Let me put it this way.
Is it necessary before one discovers what is real to make a lot of mistakes about what one thinks is real? Is that one way that one learns by gradually discovering that this is not really seeing, this is not really feeling or being aware of feeling, this is merely being aware of, or this is merely thinking?
It cannot be as strange as that, but it is so real, but the right understanding grows.
By itself?
Yes.
Besides.
So the object appears the same. Exactly.
But you say it grows naturally and spontaneously, and yet you also do say that study is necessary, not only the intellectual study, but studying of what takes place now. Well, one has to initiate the study. I don't mean make an effort to do it. But if I'm washing the dishes and thinking, and then I say, I wonder what this feels like, you know, and start looking at
the experience. You don't have to think about feeling, because it feels already. No matter you think about it or not, it feels.
Can I direct some sort of attention to what I'm doing instead of?
And that is you who is directing, not the right awareness itself, which is aware of an object by itself.
So there's no study then of realities.
Whenever there is awareness, like the awareness of hardness, if there is no study, then it is something there. Even you don't mention it, table or finger, but it's something in your mind already, when there is no studying. And the studying is the moment when it's the beginning of understanding it. Forget about table and finger. Have more understanding about solidity, which appears to what? To the experiencing of hardness, not to seeing. Different moment.
But now, you use the sentence, have more understanding.
Little.
Now, if you just look at it, if you look at just that sentence, have more understanding.
Yes.
There is a word missing from that sentence, but it is understood. You have more understanding. So, in fact, when you say have more understanding, you're saying do something.
Or I can change my word into develop. Right understanding develops.
In other words, don't develop right understanding.
No, but right understanding develops.
In other words, I should not spend any time trying to use the
present
moment for
investigation. In the beginning, nobody can stop the idea of self. I try. But later on, when right understanding grows, it sees that no one is doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Intention is intention. It's different from awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Concentration is concentration, not intention. Reality will appear as it is, as only different realities. No self in each of them.
But it's all right to pay attention to the present moment.
Who pays attention? Its awareness does not arise. There is no awareness at all.
Attention is paid. Just perhaps.
It's a characteristic which is intention or attention. But it's not right understanding or right awareness.
So in other words, the way right understanding and right awareness happens is that one is doing something and then one says, I had it.
No.
It just passed.
No. It's aware. It's the moment of awareness.
But in other words, it doesn't happen because you wanted it to happen. It didn't happen because you did anything. It happened by itself. And suddenly you're aware that it happened after it happened.
Different moment again. Because awareness is aware by itself, and then you take awareness for, I'm aware, or I had it.
Oh, yeah, right. So you make a mistake right away. Yeah.
Mm.
Or you might even have doubt. And it might...
any kind of reality.
See, I don't have any doubt about the confusion and wrong understanding that is involved in studying a book. Because I've done that more in my life than anything else, I think. And I realize that I go sit down at my desk, bring a cup of tea, and that I'm going to read the Adhidhamma tonight. Or I'm going to read Nina Van Gorkum's book. And so I understand that kind of studying. What I don't understand clearly is this other kind of studying, which is the studying of the present moment.
That's it. Because realities are not in the book. It's not in the pitch.
You know, I've learned that. I know. I mean, I'm aware that there's.
But it's
a
now
difference.
At this moment when it talks about seeing as ahetukacitta or kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka, it's this moment. Right understanding can arise this moment of seeing as conditioned.
But when you say develop right understanding, you mean nothing more than read the book and talk about it and maybe listen to tapes. That is the extent of one's actions taken to develop right understanding. Right understanding will in fact only arise
by
spontaneously.
Itself.
Yes. By conditions that you have read and discussed.
And that is sufficient. That is sufficient.
Yes,
so in other words,
important.
Any activity that I spend when I'm walking down the cliff path and sort of watching the feet moving and or doing the dishes and trying to feel pressure, stuff like this, all of this is just kidding myself.